It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast, talking real estate right around the UAE and that special focus, of course, on the Dubai real estate market. And you can hear us on Spotify, also Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And once again, we are catching up with Tatiana Laskova, the Associate Director from S&P Global. So let's go to Tatiana. And good morning, Tatiana. Welcome to the Dubai Property Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Craig, again.
Are you surprised at some of these smaller developers that have come into Dubai? Nobody's heard of them, and they've been in this position where they have not been able to sell off plan. They've had to build them completely before bringing any money in and then sell. So they've sort of really attacked it, I guess, an extreme level where they've just got to go it on their own. Are you surprised by many of these developers doing that?
I think it's a very attractive place now for many developers, and even you hear in the news some companies that have nothing to do with real estate development have started doing this. There's so much demand, people just want to capture it. Now, of course, as a smaller developer, it's more difficult. There are regulations in place, there are requirements in terms of when and how you can sell, in terms of the cash guarantee you have to bring in or a bank guarantee you have to bring in to be able to start selling the project. So it's hard for smaller players, but it's also, you know, track record of in Dubai in the previous cyclical troughs where some of the developers did not really have a very honest behavior. So, and I guess things have been put in place to prevent this now. So for well-established players, I mean, reputation is something that is very important. Reputation with the authorities, the track record of being able to deliver properties on time and not having significant issues is something that is very critical.
And just coming back to the cyclical slowdown, how do you think that the developers themselves can withstand this next cyclical slowdown? What would be some of the things that they could look at doing to sort of mitigate, I guess, some of the problems that could arise?
So what we observe is considering record pre-sales they've had over the past few years, they have really increased their cash on balance sheet. They have very significant cash buffers. They have accelerated cash collections. So you don't hear at all anymore post-handover payment plans in Dubai. This is not the standard anymore. Typically now, as a developer, you would collect 100% of cash on handover by the time your property is delivered. So basically, if you are efficient, you complete it in 3 years, you get the full cash in 3 years. And that's a much faster way for them to de-risk. We think that financially speaking, they are in a good shape now. Many of them have reduced their debt balances as well using their excess cash. So they are in a good shape to face the next cyclical correction. Now, what will likely happen when the cycle slows down is they will lose a little bit of pricing power. The margins will go down a little bit. They will have to extend these payment plans, offering more time for buyers to pay. So this yet again will create more pressure on them. But at least the starting point for them now is relatively low leverage and very healthy cash.
And I saw that there was a little piece that you wrote, non-oil economic growth in the UAE and Saudi Arabia is expected to hit that 5% compared to overall average GDP growth across the region of 2-3%. And when you look at the non-oil GDP growth, it's pretty much underpinned, as you point out, by tourism, demographics, hospitality, retail, and airlines. So all of that in terms of non-oil, it's all sort of rising to the surface in an adequate growth phase, do you think?
Yeah, so the growth has been very good over the past couple of years, and we think it will remain quite solid. So you have a lot of public investments. You know, you have the Saudi Vision 2030 that is resulting in a lot of investments in the country. you have similar programs in other GCC countries. You have it in the UAE as well. UAE gets a lot of foreign direct investment. So all of this will spur economic growth. And ultimately, this translates into more consumer confidence. There are some risks, of course. One of the major ones, and which is hard to assess at this point, is geopolitical developments. You've got tensions in the Red Sea, and that's probably one of the major tail risks that could affect consumer confidence and therefore consumer spending as well.
Yeah, and just talking about the geopolitical tensions, do you sort of game play that a little bit? Like you were talking about the sensitivity of some of these other markets outside of the UAE. I mean, how sensitive with the geopolitical tensions can you sort of model that with something happening which would have a knock-on effect in the economy?
So our base case for now is that geopolitical tensions in the Red Sea will not escalate. So this is our working assumption. But if this were to escalate, I think the industries that are more reliant on imports, exports, more reliant on supply chain could be affected. But again, it's not our expectation for now. And we generally expect the situation to be rather stable on geopolitical front. And, just if we talk about real estate, we've seen in the recent conflict, when the conflict between Russia and Ukraine happened, it usually benefits to buy real estate.
Yeah, does it ever? Boy, it does for sure. And just finally, I just want to finish up on the line in Saudi Arabia, which we get so much traffic on, so many emails, so many questions, as if we are building it. But I mean, how much of a talking point is this around the circles that you move in? And I guess looking at what it's worth and how much of a boost it is going to bring to the economy, because it's such a talking point. People are fascinated by this.
Yeah, sure. So listen, we don't have any particular insights into this, but it's a heavy investment. What we understand now, it will be staged. Yeah, so it will take quite a bit of time. There will be a lot of funding requirements. So we would expect the government or government agencies to raise a lot of debt for this, a lot of foreign investors to come for this. But I guess it's probably too early to say now. And I mean, that's the whole challenge of Vision 2030, developing economy. And the population is quite young in Saudi Arabia and the unemployment rates are relatively high. So it's really vital for them to create new jobs for young people in the country.
Yeah. And what about you, Tatiana? Would you live there? Could you live in the line? No cars, no streets and no carbon emissions. What do you think?
I would definitely like to go there, but just to see, but about moving, not sure yet.
Well, I think by the time they get the pictures and the models that you can have a look at, you've already seen some of those sort of put forward and it does look pretty groovy is the word, probably.
Looks very futuristic and amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you never say never, right? But you look at it and you might go, wow, this is so out of the box. It's like, it's crazy, but it could be quite the attractive proposition.
Why not? The city of the future.
I like the fact that you're not saying no. I like the fact that you're saying, why not? It's possible. Good on you, Tatiana. All right, well, I think we'll call it there. Great to catch up with you and talk everything, including the line and what's happening outside of the UAE. And we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Grab your weekly dose of inspiration to help build a real estate portfolio. We talk to the best in the business every day. Learn from the professionals and know your property with us.
Okay, so we're looking at a property. What's the minimum investment that I can make?
It's 500 dirhams. It's as low as that. The reason we set it low is to enable anyone to invest. We don't want to stop real estate being in the hands of individuals that want to see the benefits of it. For a long time, we've all known that if you invest in real estate, you get good returns. We all know that. We're in the real estate market here. From a very early age, you buy houses, you buy properties. If you can, you then buy another one and you rent it out and you are just set for life. This is enabling people that can't afford that second property in its entirety to still get the returns from it. If you own 10% of a property, you get 10% of the returns.
An independent mortgage advisor can tell you what the whole market is offering, and you can then choose what suits you the best rather than just settling for what one specific bank has to offer. Which, incidentally, at the moment, if we're looking for a fixed term for 3 years, is running at approximately 3.85%.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.